inspiring.
Blog Talk Radio.
Stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Wow. That's a tough act to follow and a little bit heavy shoes to fill in. Dr. Pat is amazing. I'm filling in for her again today by request, and I'm completely honored and humbled. She's always raising the bar in everything she does in life, so I had to raise the bar and go and find me a guest that is so intriguing, so amazing, and has so much potential of helping on so many levels, especially at this time in the world. So I found myself Mr. Ethan Fox. Mr. Ethan Fox has amazing skills of many levels. A bit like me, he came from the corporate world and stepped into spirit and what the heck, and never looked back, I believe. So, Ethan, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got there, please?
Sure, thank you. It's a pleasure being with you today, and thank you for having me on your show. And, well, there's a lot to tell there, but just to sum up, I oversee an organization called Wildlife Institute, and so we've got many different moving parts to that. We have various programs for kids, and we have programs for adults, like we're working on a school program for kids, but we've had program for several years now and about to roll out a mentorship program as well. We have an annual day camp that where kids come together and we bring in teachers to teach them hands-on how to read auras, how to channel mediumship, and all those kinds of things. Light language, these are all subjects we've had, numerology, astrology, we talk to kids. And then we have an annual expo where it's more of an adult program, and there we bring in different educators for adults, everything from ancient archaeology to channeling to all kinds of things and all kinds of interesting subjects like that, UFO contact and crop circles, quite a variety of subjects over the years. We do our local events as well, and typically those we live stream as well online and YouTube channel, Awaken Empower TV, magazine, Awaken Empower magazine. And of course, our kids' programs are Conscious Youth, Seed of Life School. We have parent forums as well for parents of kids who are gifted or having these kinds of experiences. So quite a broad range of things. And of course, the foundation of that, I have my own consciousness work that I do to raise consciousness and remove karmic density from individuals. I work with light workers to help them to transition from mainstream life journey to a more alternative field, whether it be the field of spiritual healing or channeling. So I've worked with quite a few people who are out there now working in these different fields and launched them out into that space and helped them become successful as well. So there's certainly more to tell, but that's just kind of an overview.
Wow, that's a lot. That's amazing work. So I was reading a bit of your information, and you came from the corporate world, and you had some experiences that you couldn't understand or define. Would it be safe to say that when you were actually jumped into knowing who and part of why you were here, that you kind of got the full library instead of the book?
Well, it was always operating in the background, but I didn't really know until, well, I guess I should say, I didn't really put it together until about 9 years ago, which is when I made the final step into this space. So nowadays, I'm entirely in this space. I don't really interface with the corporate space or that business world, although a lot of the skills I picked up there over the decades, I still use today in what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it was in my 20s when I became interested in spirituality and started becoming aware that I had some unusual abilities. And it was around age 27 or 30 where I became aware of what I now do very naturally every all the time. But at that time, in my late 20s, I didn't really take it that seriously. There were a lot of very unusual circumstances and spiritual experiences that were happening around me and to me. Back then I did have a lot of very talented, gifted people who were friends of mine and associates, I still didn't take it that seriously because I was still very much immersed in the mainstream world.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put those things on the shelf as they happened. But now in hindsight, I look back and over my entire life and all the pieces make sense as to why all of those things were happening. And I've since discovered that this ability that I have with energy and such has been going on since birth, but wasn't something I had a reference point. I mean, I was born in India. I grew up in a traditional Indian family.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't believe in these sorts of things, so I didn't have a good foundation for understanding these things when I was younger, or else I might have had a different perspective and started sooner with more intentionality, which is really why we work with kids today, among other things, to give them that head start and help parents to navigate that when they don't have that background themselves.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I have been involved in a lot of different spiritual groups and aspects, and that's always the question or always the way people feel when they do wake up later. And yet people like myself who wake up really, really soon wish that we had waited a little bit because it was so different to be in around all of this and have no guidance or from people. So it really is great to work with children and adults because you never know when someone's supposed to wake up because it's divine timing and it's when you're needed to serve and to bring forward what you came to bring forward is my knowing. Would that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, I think timing matters. Not that I couldn't have maybe had more awareness when I was a lot younger, and sure that would have helped. But at the same time, though, I don't think the majority of my work was meant to happen until this past decade and now because of the timing on the planet for these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I stepped out into doing this, it actually wasn't something that I consciously chose to do at the time. My then life, which was primarily in the business and financial world 10 years ago, was really sort of stripped away from me without my decision to do that. So the universe forced me in this direction at the right time. So I don't think there was an accident. I mean, sure, it might have been helpful to have more guidance earlier, but I actually did have that guidance. I just didn't think much of it. I mean, even in my 20s, I had friends who were channels and people who were healers. And even back then, people who were friends of mine looked at me as a spiritual teacher, but I didn't really take any of that very seriously. So it was always there. And I think when the time was right, everything that was no longer necessary in my life was taken away and replaced with this path. So I think the timing was appropriate. There was really nothing more for me to do earlier. And a lot of those skills I picked up in the mainstream world are essential to what I do today. So if I didn't have that experience, I couldn't run an organization or do the things that I do. So I think everything was perfect timing. Even though we may look back and say, oh, I wish this had happened sooner, I think for the most part, we're all on the right path and our paths are being guided at all times, and we end up where we need to be. So I don't think there was a timing issue then.
That's good. Many people, including myself, are very aware of what one might call restraints and others may call restrictions. And that we resonate with those parts of our being that we haven't came here to share sometimes, and it can kind of pull us over, and we need to get back on track. What's the hardest thing for you in your journey, Neil, that not to be pulled or distracted? For me, it's a lot of the cruelty that's in the world. I find that a little hard to carry, and I'm over there trying to rescue because I'm a life skills coach, and then I've got to get back and do what I'm supposed to actually be doing over here. So what is one of the hardest things for you that pulls you away from doing your work right now?
Well, and maybe this is because I've spent most of my adult years, or even as a child, in business, and when you do that, you run across a lot of problems. You know, business is never easy, and you're always going to run into problems and setbacks and have to reevaluate and make new decisions and go forward. So one of the greatest teaching tools I had was just being entrepreneurial most of my life, mm-hmm. and having to figure things out on my own. So nowadays, I have sort of a different attitude, although I wouldn't say I don't ever get stuck on anything, but I don't tend to get stuck very long because I just go around things and find new things to do. So for us, or for me in particular, the past year has been an obstacle because, you know, we were moving along as an organization and doing our events, and everything was perfectly fine until we started having a lot of problems with the establishment a year ago with our events. For example, our expo that was scheduled last year, at the last, actually 3 days before the expo, the mayor of Detroit shut it down, and the hotel wouldn't allow us to have it, so we had to cancel it. The police showed up at our local events to tell us to shut it down, so we had these kind of problems last year.
Wow.
Which you wouldn't think, right? This is a spiritual event. I mean, there's nothing we're doing out of the ordinary, but these are the circumstances we had to deal with. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, that was a setback because it caused some issues with us continuing to do what we're doing for a temporary period of time. But I just, you know, we just shifted gears and started doing other things and focusing on other areas while that part of things works itself out. So that's kind of how I tend to do things. I don't really, you know, I always find new things to be happy about and to be, to focus on that are moving forward. And there are never things that you would originally think you would do, you know, because when the obstacle isn't there to guide you in a new direction, you're not thinking of what new directions you may go. But the obstacles always show up in order to move us in directions that we wouldn't otherwise consider. Just like 9 years ago when I embarked on this period of my life, it was because there were obstacles. My former life essentially collapsed, and I had to start over from zero. And I didn't, at the time, want those things to happen. But they did, and if they didn't happen, I would never have done this and all the things that I've been doing since then. So in the same way, I don't tend to get stuck on things that are obstacles for very long. And I've gotten used to navigating around those things. So when there's a problem, I just look for a solution or I look for a new path to focus on for the time being and then come back to the original thing if it still makes sense. So that's, you know, how I tend to navigate my life most of the time these days.
Well, that's a pretty productive way, and that also shows that you have passion for what you're doing, that you're fitting the clothes that you're wearing, and so there's a lot of people that are just not comfortable, no matter what, within the last year. For me, I'm very excited for what's going down and what's happening on this planet and in the Milky Way and around us. And it's hard to maintain that around people who are like, what are you so excited for, Patricia? So I just wanted to say that you do have virtual schools now because of the situation. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, we've had that all along. We have for our kids programs, we have Conscious Youth, which is our kids' virtual program that meets every 2 weeks, and it's a virtual class where we bring in different teachers to teach different subjects from, you know, a lot of the subjects I mentioned earlier. And kids all over the world join that. And then every 2 weeks, we have a social where the kids just share what's going on with them, and there's a facilitator who talks them through that and answers their questions, and they get to meet and interact with each other. That's been going on for many years now, long before everything started going virtual globally. Mm-hmm. But we've continued that. Nothing's changed there. But we just launched, we haven't officially launched it, but we just launched our mentorship program for kids, which is a virtual program as well. And that is essentially, we have kids can sign up based on their interests or their areas of gifts and abilities, and we'll assign them to a mentor based on whatever that is. And then the mentor will coach them through that. The intention being, as an example, we have our pilot, we're running testing for the last couple of months. We have a child who's a channel, and she's a very gifted channel. She's, I'm going to guess, she's in her teens somewhere, early teens. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to have a mentor, so we put her with Mikhail Sheldon. I don't know if you are familiar with her, but who's a channel. And so,
yes, I have.
Okay, so she's essentially mentoring her in her channeling abilities to help her to develop them. The idea being that by the time she gets old enough to get out into the world and do whatever work she wants to do, she can do that in a spiritual space and be successful just as if she were in a mainstream space as well.
That's absolutely amazing, Ethan. That is fantastic. Like, the opportunities and to know where you're going as a teenager, living your whole life, that just, wow, fills me up.
Yeah.
With there's a lot of very gifted children coming through, and wow, that's an amazing, amazing gift that you're giving to them. We're going to take our first quick break, and after the break, I'm going to ask you, Ethan, a little bit about your own special, unique gift of energy transfer, and some more questions regarding the children that are coming forward to you at this time as opposed to 5 years ago. So we'll see you right after the break. Stay tuned. Thank you.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more, who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Are you ready to let go of the I can't that are holding you down? Valerie Trujillo invites you to join her community on a mission to collectively heal as a tribe, where your vulnerability is heard and reciprocated. So tune in to Love and Light with the Crystal Blue Oracle every second and fourth Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Valerie and her work, visit CrystalBlueOracle.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Patricia. I'm a host here at Transformational Talk Radio. You can watch my show every first and third Wednesday of the month, Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I am really honored to step in and to be here for Dr. Pat today. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hope you're enjoying it. And I'm really excited with my guest, Ethan Fox. And we were talking before the break a bit about the work that he does with spiritual children and his team does with the spiritual children. And my question would be, are you seeing a difference in the rays of consciousness of the children that are actually stepping forward? And are they stepping forward on their own, or are they actually being encouraged by parents or others in their family at this time?
Well, I think it's a combination. And still, it's a small fraction of kids that are stepping forward, because compared to the whole of, you know, civilization of the planet, right, at the moment anyway. So we're still on the very early stages of all of this. But I would say the majority are situations where the kids are having experiences at a young age, and the parents are seeking help to educate them and to nurture those abilities. But in some cases, you have, you know, the parents are sort of giving them a nudge in that direction also. I think the best situation is where the parents are supportive of the child, whatever that child is interested in. And, of course, you know, over the years, we have had some parents who are nudging their children who, at the moment, have no such interest, but hoping that their children have. I mean, it's no different than any other thing. You have parents of all different kinds, right? Even in the mainstream space, some who are pushing their kids into things they don't really want to do, and others that are just supporting their kids. It's really the same even in this space. But I am noticing the consciousness of the children over the years that we work with is expanding and is growing every single year that we have been doing this. And the gifts and abilities are also growing very significantly as well. The kids we have in our programs these days are way more advanced in terms of their abilities to do different things than the kids we had even just a few years ago in our programs. So we're growing as, that's why we're offering the mentorship program now. As the need arises, we're offering more And the goal is within this decade to have a year-round school for the kids. So the mentorship program is going to lead to the year-round school where it'll be a virtual program so we can support our kids internationally, where we bring more advanced education, like some of the things we already talked about, but also even some of the more mainstream subjects that bring more advanced teachers in front of the kids in those spaces. And then by the end of this decade, have our first physical schools for kids around the world as well. So that's the progression that we have planned for the kids programs. And as the kids develop, we're going to just keep developing programs for them.
So it could be possible for a child in your schooling to go on and be a facilitator for other children in the future. Wouldn't that be an awesome pathway for the ones coming up? Are there any gifts within the children being shared that are unique and new to this planet?
Well, to answer your first question, that's already happened. Our first kids in the program from years ago have already been facilitators in different ways.
Nice.
Some have been teaching things to the kids, and others have helped run some of the kids' programs, but some of them are now in their 20s. So some of the earlier kids are already facilitators, and I imagine that's going to continue as we go forward as well. In terms of gifts that we've not seen, well, you know, I work with a lot of adults who are very gifted, too. And so I wouldn't say necessarily any gifts we've not seen, but I would say it's becoming more commonplace. So the kids are having abilities that I've only seen in the most advanced adults who are in that space, where it's becoming more commonplace with kids. But nothing that I would say hasn't been seen because, well, I've seen a lot of things. So, so we have kids who are very talented channels, which is not that uncommon these days, but to have that level of ability in a child who is aware of it and using it at that age is pretty uncommon. We have some children who can see through walls or see behind their heads, some kids who are telekinetic, you know, none of which is new, but generally you never hear about those things at that age. So I think what's happening is these abilities are becoming present at a younger and younger age as we go forward, as opposed to being entirely new. There are adults out there who can do these things, but imagine when these kids get to that same adult age, how more advanced they will be having started so young. So that's what I'm seeing right now is those abilities. And, of course, almost all of them have had some sort of multidimensional contact experience. You know, a lot of them have had extraterrestrial contact experiences as children. A lot of times, you can tell a child has extraordinary abilities because they'll have those experiences at a young child, at a young age. Many of them have imaginary friends, for example, which usually are some sort of spirit guide communicating with them as a child. And, well, most adults don't have any concept for that, so they just think they're imaginary friends when they're very real, but they may not be in physical form. So these kind of things are pretty common with the kids
in
our programs.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that there's a place there because, you know, let's kind of get a little bit into reality. There's almost a whole generation that's been diagnosed with medical issues as opposed to being allowed to be spiritual and connected. So are you finding that changing a bit, or is that still continuing?
Okay.
Where are we at with that?
You're talking about medical conditions specifically?
Right, yeah.
Well, that's a mainstream diagnosis, of course. Mm-hmm. And so in the mainstream space, obviously nothing's changed because most parents don't know what we know in this space. So because of that, they just follow what their mainstream medical practitioners tell them to do. And now in our space, yes, there are some children who earlier in their childhood, their parents not knowing, have had them on pharmaceutical medications for ADD or ADHD. That's pretty common with gifted kids. And I think those drugs are suppressing that awareness or those abilities when the kids are younger. And it, in some cases, can be reversed. In some cases, the effects can be a bit more permanent. It depends from child to child. So we do have some kids in our programs whose parents, you know, went the conventional route when they were younger and now have realized what's really going on, and those kids are not on those drugs. And others still are. You have people all across the board. Some are still walking that fine line between mainstream and the spiritual or unconventional space, and others who have totally jumped to the more spiritual alternative space, and others who have always been there. So it's, you know, but in the mainstream, though, yeah, it's still predominantly drug use or treating those situations is very common. But I don't think, I would say in some of those situations, those illnesses may have been the result of toxins in the environment or genetically engineered foods and things of that nature. But I also think in many cases it's the result of the children having access to multidimensional information that they don't know how to process. So when you have a child who has connections to many dimensions at once and they're receiving all of this energy and information, that can show up as ADD or ADHD because they, in their mind, had no training when they were younger. Now, in the future, if we have our way anyway, these are the kind of things that kids will learn at a younger age. But at the moment, that's not very common. And so these children are born into a world where they don't have the education to understand how to deal with multidimensional contact. And so I think that's where a lot of these mainstream diagnoses come from, is you just don't know how to process that information.
Well, you know, I think many have been praying for the openness of the ability to have something different for the children. So personally, I would like to thank you and your organization. I'm actually raising my grandson, who is very open and very, and our goal for the blessing of raising him is let him be him. And it's been very interesting. So the thought that there are, you know, if you have a child out there that you're not quite sure what's happening, there is another outlet to get a second opinion, and perhaps maybe they need both. But, you know, it's organizations like yourself that people can contact and at least ask questions and feel out what the needs may be for the child. So I appreciate the work that you do with that. We have about 5 minutes. Wow, my show goes really fast, doesn't it? I would like to know a little bit more about what you would like to hear about energy transfer. We can have you back on the show if you would like to do more about that. And I would like your take on what you would like to say on this platform today to the world with everything that's going on, and just something from Ethan Fox to all of us. I'd be blessed to hear that. Thank you.
Sure. Well, energy, I mean, there's certainly lots to say there, but I came to realize about 8 or 9 years ago that there was a 13th dimensional consciousness that's been working through this physical body since I was born, but I didn't know that until a few years ago, until about 8 years ago. And it has been sort of processing density and raising consciousness in its environment ever since birth. And since then, you've probably seen some videos of me and Barb, and Barb's an aura reader. So when I met her about 9 years ago, she mentioned that my aura was unique. And so I had her look at pictures of me as a child, and that was present even as a child. And then since then, working with different channels like Michaela Sheldon, I've had a chance to speak with the 13th Dimensional Collective and fill in the gaps of what I'm doing here. And according to them, I had an agreement with them before coming into this physical body to allow them to utilize this physical body in this dimension to facilitate this process without my conscious awareness. So they've been doing this all my life. And so in hindsight, it explains a lot of the unusual phenomena that happened when I was younger that I had no rational explanation for. So nowadays I do it with intention, and people also use my videos from various events to facilitate the process because I don't have to be conscious of it because the 13th Dimensional Collective, they don't function in space and time like we do. And so they can be aware of someone's intention on the other side of the planet, and they will just simply use
their word.
Yeah. So the only reason that I need to exist here is because them being in a 13th dimension cannot directly interact with the third dimension without having something that's anchored here in the third dimension and also the 13th dimension. So this consciousness or this physical structure can do both, can anchor in the third and the 13th dimension. So in a way, it sort of provides a tunnel through which they can facilitate this process for those of us who are here in the third dimension.
It's always been said, if it doesn't go down the physical, it's not going to go down. So that makes complete sense. And it also makes complete sense why I was seeing two different rays of consciousness with you. And we spoke of that during the break. And so what I'm hearing to give you is the intelligence of Ethan Fox and that soul that has agreed to allow that to come forward is just as intelligent as the 13th level in order for that to correspond. So they wanted me to give you that, and so I did. So.
Yeah, and that's true for anybody, even a channel. If a channel is, and I wouldn't say all channels are equal, but if a channel is really channeling, let's say, the ninth dimensional Pleiadians, you have to be a ninth dimensional Pleiadian in that moment to do that. You can't channel something that you are not. So this physical body or the soul does exist in a 13th dimension. But it also exists here in the third dimension. And so it's necessary to have that. But there are certain guides who walk with me in the third dimension that facilitate this process when I'm not conscious of it as well. And although I can't see them, other people can. People like Barb can see, or Michaela can see. There is a primary guide who walks with me in physical life, and they see him all the time. Around me. And so there are certain spirit guides who are part of the process who help make it happen. But I've also had previous incarnations where I was preparing for this to be able to do this in my life.
We could get into a whole discussion, you and I. Many people, it's been my knowing and understanding that many people may go to different dimensional planes for training before they go to whichever solar system they're going to be working with. And so then they adopt the feeling that they are Pleiadian. If they've gone to Pleiades to be trained to bring something here to this planet, the fact that we are all of everything, always overlays, you know, I'm not Native American, but I know of past lives where I was. Does that make me no longer Native American, or does that make me Native American because I was there? Another whole discussion. I'd love to have that with you at some time. But I know that you do have another engagement, so I'm trying to keep a track on the time because to my being, there's so much respect for your being and who you are and what you do. And this is the first time we've ever met physically. And so I'm very, very honored that you came on the show and shared this space and time with me. And I look forward to whatever is to come forward in the future. I'd like to have you back on my show and pick a topic. And I think that we could really, really communicate about it. Once again, thank you for all the work that you do, Ethan, and your team, and the pristine and the clarity that I feel in every communication that I've had with Stella, who's amazing, and anything that I've looked up on the web, because you can get a good feeling from everything, no matter how you're viewing it or where you're viewing it. And I really feel the pristine and the integrity and the kindness from you and your work. So thank you so much. And I'll leave you to say any words you would like to leave the show with, and then I'll sum it up after. Thank you.
Well, you know, I think the only thing that I would have to end with is, you know, the past year we've gone through a lot of difficulties in the planet, especially people in the spiritual space. I think they're having more challenges with it. And now, having been an astrologer, a numerologist, also for almost 30 years now, I've studied cycles, and this time didn't surprise me. But I do think we're heading into a much brighter future. Although we're in this sort of window of time where things are going to be a bit chaotic and suppressive, but as a result of that, more awakening will occur. And I think we're heading into sort of an Atlantean future, in not only in the mainstream sense of having very advanced technology available on the planet, longer lifespans, but also the expansion of consciousness and spiritual abilities, which is why we're seeing so many kids and adults starting to wake up to those abilities, develop them at this time. But at the same time, we do have this other side that's, in a way, this lower consciousness on the planet that's trying to limit and suppress that. And that's why we're experiencing these things on the planet, this duality, and two distinct timelines that are emerging from it, one that is the higher consciousness path and one is the lower consciousness path. I do think that for the short term, we're going to see both exist, but in the long term, they're both going to merge into a higher consciousness path that's going to be a much freer, more advanced, more enlightened society. So I would just keep that in mind, and in the meantime, try to focus your attention on things that make you happy and that are positive, where you can make progress at this time. Even if that progress is painting your house or whatever, you know, whatever makes you joyful and feel like you're expanding. Because even in the times of greatest suppression, there are opportunities to expand. It's just so many of us get stuck on the things where we're being restricted, and we don't notice the opportunities to expand. So I would encourage everyone to look in their lives for the opportunities to expand, because the universe, whenever it presents us with a problem, it also presents us simultaneously with a solution to the problem. But very few notice that, and that's where I think suffering comes from, is the inability to notice. So that's what I would like to leave everyone with, and explore that idea a little further.
Wow, those are great words. Gives a lot of hope. Bring joy in. If it's learning how to balance a pail of water on your head, you never had time to do that before. Bring joy in. I absolutely am a firm believer of that. Gratitude and joy are two really strong braces to live your life in. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing, and for all the work that you do. And I'd like to have you back anytime you'd like to have the time to come back. And thank you to Stella and everyone in your organization for all that they do as well. And I will say namaste.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? you, we created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com. It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories to teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Creating and living the upturn way, soul designed for self-enlightenment and self-healing. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio the second and the fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with me, Vivian Chauvet. As we transcend the third dimensional plane of reality, we move into higher realms of existence. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as divine essence of life and unite our voices to successfully manifest ascension on Earth. For information on our services, Copper Art Store, and to connect with me, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com. That is infinitehealingfromthestars.com. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with me, Vivian Chauvet.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Patricia from Divine Guidance of Patricia. Divine Guidance with Patricia. I was so, that was a great show with Ethan. Such humbleness, such wisdom all portrayed. And when you look at someone like that and look at someone like Dr. Pat, you visualize them with eight arms and magic wands, because what they're able to accomplish in a lifetime is just magnificent and such a great service to mankind and to the planet and to consciousness. And there's a lot happening right now on this planet that, you know, a lot of people are very much aware of. And there's a lot of things, like Ethan mentioned, happening on the planet that not so many are aware of. So those of you who are continuously struggling to be who you are in and through this time and this situation, know that you're not alone. Know that we're all there with you. Know that everyone who is consciously praying and striving to still come out of this with the beautiful light of compassion and kindness and integrity and, yeah, a little bit of kick-butt attitude to get through it some days. Don't be hard on yourself. Just know that you're doing the best that you can and that many are doing their part, even if you're not aware of it. In doing the earth work for the last 20 years with my husband, and the things we've been asked to do by spirit and where to go and what to do and and things that probably we weren't really happy about at the moment, but knew that it was to be done. And not that we're any better than anybody else. We did our small part. And if everyone does their small part, then the load gets lighter, literally lighter. And this world can be lit up in such a way that it's never been lit up before. The work that we've been doing lately is for Earth to know liberation for the first time, for the human race to know liberation for the first time, for spirituality, awareness of consciousness, energy, to be the absolute norm, just as normal as eating food or working a 9-to-5 job. It's time for everything that we are. And anyone that knows me knows that I talk about solutions for the whole being. And this is where we're at. And I fully believe that this is where we're coming through, is to have full whole beings. And knowing that whatever you believe your higher power to be, whatever your spirit sings and brings and dances to, is that fine. But all the differences make up the different sparkles of the sunlight and the moon dancing on the water, that all of it is a part of all of it, and that no one is higher or lower, and no one has all the answers. Isn't it great to know that you don't have to have all the answers, but you can call out to the universe and somebody will bring those answers because they've been carrying them for you and for themselves and for whoever. And that's the beauty of divinities and the divinities of Mother Earth and the kingdoms and the planets that are all rejoicing right now to see the struggle for power and control be released. And honor it, and don't allow hate for circumstances, misunderstandings and differences. Don't allow that energy to dictate where we're going, you know? Understand that everyone has their opinion, that everyone has their knowing, everyone has their training, whether it's been traditional training from parents or traditional training from themselves. Be kind to you, and then you can be kind to others. Be kind to the grass, to the animals, to that person who is maybe acting like they know it all and they don't. Be kind to them, because many times that's fear. And I invite you to take a closer look at fear and face everything and rise and know that today is a new day. Today is a day where we can be in unity with each other, even if we don't have the same fears, the same knowledge, the same gifts, the same intelligence, the same knowing. We're here. And if we're all here, we're all here together. And we are in this together. Like some people say, some people have a yacht, some people have a little rowboat, but we're still all in it together. I know if I'd never driven a yacht before, I'd kind of like the stick in my rowboat. But if somebody needed help on the yacht, I'd try and figure it out with them. So allowing each other to show each other kindness in the best and the only way that we know how, that is a gift to you, to the world, and to where we're going. So with that, the work that Ethan Fox mentioned about doing with the children is amazing, because if we're nurturing our children to become and to be whole beings, I know as a person raising a child that I'm going to have to step up my game. If I'm inviting him to be a whole being, I need to consciously be aware, to lead the way, set the example. So I really appreciate the work that he's doing with the children, and I really appreciate the parents and the people in these children's lives who are open and willing to share that side of living with their child. And that duality is fading. It's fading through the ability for all of us to look at each other and know that we are all here. We're not just in what's going on in the last year. We've been in everything, every era, every civilization. We have been in this together since humans were placed upon this planet. Isn't it time to really come together and really not worry that you don't have enough mascara or wear the right clothes or have as many gifts or don't understand spirit or may not be very good with money? Isn't it time to put all the worries of what we're not and shine more in all the things that we are and can be? I'm Patricia McNair. I'm a woman on a mountain, and I'm here, and I'm here, and I invite and open my being to learn to be as whole as possible. Am I perfect? Heck no. Anybody who knows me knows I stumble, I fall, and I jump up and down, and sometimes I get what they call angel mad, and but I get through it.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Penny Hopper here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. For around the south, everything's off over on I-5 southbound, just south of Inner Urban Avenue, right around milepost 155. A recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing though, instant response team, State Patrol have arrived on the scene. We are taking care of those motorists. And stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. The Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and removing your armor to access your resilience. Stay tuned.
NBC Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Friends and family of Andrew Brown Jr. are attending his funeral today in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. The Reverend Al Sharpton is delivering the eulogy as protests continue over Brown's shooting death by sheriff's deputies. National Urban League President Mark Morial says Brown's death represents an all-too-familiar theme.
Seems to be yet another case. Seems to be another case of unwarranted, unjustified use of force against an unarmed black man in connection with an effort to serve him with an arrest warrant.
Demonstrations in Elizabeth City happened again yesterday for 12th day. The president and First Lady Jill Biden are pushing what they say are the benefits to schools from a massive proposed infrastructure package. They're in Virginia today. The president spoke at Tidewater Community College, saying 12 years in school isn't enough.
That's why my American Families Plan guarantees 4 additional years of public education for every person in America, starting as early as we can.
The Bidens also visited an elementary school today. All local COVID-19 orders are being suspended in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis announced he's signing an executive order to end all local virus-related orders. The governor said this doesn't mean the pandemic is over, but that there's no longer a need for emergency rules. The process of reuniting migrant families who were separated in the prior Trump administration is underway. A few families are being reunited, with about 1,000 kids remaining separated. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas tells CBS this morning,
"We made a very important decision that we would not continue to expel unaccompanied children as the Trump administration did."
Mayorkas called that policy cruel and unjust. A radar-confirmed tornado touchdown earlier today in the Atlanta area. A tornado watch continues for northern Georgia. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents...
Doug. Check it out, Lemu. A roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Lemu, famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive.
save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. We'll see mostly cloudy skies with a chance of light rain showers here and there around the Puget Sound area today. High temperatures around 59 degrees. Tonight, clouds and light rain will hang around, low temperatures dropping down to about 48. For Tuesday, morning rain making way to mostly sunny skies by Tuesday afternoon. High temperatures around 64. Tuesday night, mostly clear skies, lows down to about 44. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sunbursts, highs around 72.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McFilley and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hi, everybody. I'm Trish Laub, and I'm filling in for Dr. Pat today. I have my own show on this network called A Cup of Comfort. It's all about care heroes, those people who provide care for another who cannot fully care for themselves. While I'm not going to be talking specifically about care heroes today, I'm curious. Did any of you find yourself unexpectedly in the role of a care hero this year as a result of COVID? Or did your role as a care hero intensify as a result of the pandemic? The care paradigm has changed during the pandemic and will never go back to what it was, making many more of you care heroes than ever before. Anyway, on A Cup of Comfort, we talk about all topics related to providing care, and no topic is off limits. So check out the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com. That's Trish, T-R-I-S-H, Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy.com after the show. So you may be thinking that you aren't a care hero, and maybe you're asking yourself why you should care about armor or resilience. Am I right? Well, I ask you to stay with me because what my guest has to share today really is for everyone. We've all had our backs up against the wall at some point in our life for one reason or another, haven't we? Can you think of a time that was true for you? A time maybe when you really were really challenged and perhaps felt a little trapped. I know that I have many times in my life, so grab a cup of whatever you want to drink and sit back and relax. This will be invaluable. I want to start by reading the foreword of Chasing Life, a book written by my guest and due out this summer. Dr. Suzanne Rose wrote the foreword and said this, "Chasing Life. I have been thinking a lot about the word chasing. It is one of my toddler granddaughter's favorite words as she runs around acting like she hopes that someone will catch up to her, but truly wishing she will outsmart whoever is behind her and stay in the lead." You're about to read a love story, a story of triumph, a story of drive, passion, compassion, and about a courageous fight in the face of adversity. I came to know Dr. Desiree Pardee as someone who was always chasing her dream. She did not just pursue the dream in order to catch up. She caught up with her dream, outsmarted that dream, and pursued another and another and another. Chasing Life is the perfect title for this labor of love, a portrait of an incredible young woman pursuing her passion, surpassing every expectation, and then moving forward again until she could go no further because of a devastating and aggressive disease. But anyone who met Desiree casually would never have known any of that. Her cheerful countenance, her enthusiasm, her bright smile never betrayed the battle she was fighting, or her drive to satisfy her curiosity, create her scientific knowledge, or take exceptional care of her patients. Now, that was part of the foreword to a memoir that details the story of a truly extraordinary woman, Dr. Desiree Pardee. But equally extraordinary is the man behind the book, her husband Robert, who Dr. Rose described as Desiree's spirited and devoted husband. Robert has not only lived, but also embodies what I believe about providing care for another. After communicating with him and listening to his interviews and podcasts, I quickly realized that we're aligned not only in our care philosophy, but also in our life philosophies. And Robert truly has blended both. That's why what he has to say today really applies to everyone. Now, before I introduce my guests, I want to let everyone know that some of the information from today's show will be available in a downloadable PDF on the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com, after the show. So born in New York City, Robert worked at a Welsh fund in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, has lived in Rome, and now lives in a small Italian village in the National Park of Abruzzo. After caring for his wife during a life-limiting illness, in 2014, Robert decided to leave his comfort zone working in finance to pursue what he deemed to be a more purposeful path. Throwing caution to the wind, he pursued a childhood dream to live in Italy and followed a passion born while caring for his wife to become a life coach. He now lives in the same Italian village that his great-grandfather immigrated from over 100 years ago and is a certified life coach. He is one of those rare individuals who embraces change and lives by a philosophy which he calls possibility in action, taking his desire for transformation and putting it into action every day. I am so happy to welcome Rob, and it is exciting to finally meet you face-to-face after communicating virtually for quite a while.
I am thrilled to be here, and I knew your energy would just be over the top, so I'm loving it already.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Well, it's infectious.
If you know my energy, you know I want to jump right in.
Sure.
And ask you if you could spend a few minutes just sharing your Care Hero journey and how you got to what you do today.
Sure. Well, I actually, the Care Hero journey really started when my wife was diagnosed. But the skills that I was able to put in place, I learned growing up in a dysfunctional relationship with an alcoholic father. And that really taught me a lot about resilience. It taught me a lot about grit. And basically what wound up happening is I was offered a job in Abu Dhabi. I wasn't really sure about taking it, but my wife and I, we both loved experience. We both just wanted to live the most unusual life, let's say. And she was like, yeah, let's take it. You should take it. She was doing her PhD. She was studying to do an MD PhD. And she was like, I'm busy anyway, so you go. And they were giving me a lot of vacation. And she said, we'll meet 6 weeks in a different country, every 6 weeks in a different country. Well, it just sounded wonderful. It really sounded wonderful. The United Arab Emirates was amazing in the late 90s. So I took the job, and after she finished her PhD, before going back to do the MD, she said, let me come and live there for a year. It was a two-year contract. I did 1 year, so she wanted to experience the Middle East as well. When she flew over to get a residency visa, you actually have to go through a medical screening in the Emirates. And that's when they found that she had stage 3 breast cancer, right before her 31st birthday. What wound up happening was the doctor, and it's not because of the Muslim religion, I truly believe it was because there was this bright, vibrant 30-year-old woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was unusual, and he didn't know basically how to interact. So he told me the information. And when I broke the news to my wife, I asked her what she wanted to know. And she said, only the next steps. And basically that led to not me just being a caregiver, but in a way her surrogate, because I had to make all the decisions as if I were dying. She gave me a template. She wanted to be very aggressive, but she didn't want to know the specifics. There came a point in time that she actually asked to know some of the specifics. I didn't share everything because I didn't think it was worthwhile to her. She had known that the cancer had spread to her liver because she needed a liver resection. But at that point in time, it was also in her bones, and they saw a spot in her lung. There was no reason to tell her that because it wasn't going to change anything. So over the 11 years, I cared for her and also protected her coping mechanisms. I was the one that stood in front of everything so it didn't touch her and it allowed her to live her life the way she wanted to and die the way she wanted to.
And I will tell the people, everybody listening, I know a lot more about Robert's story, and that's the tip of the iceberg. What he did was actually very, really, really extraordinary, what he did and how his wife and he put together their lives. And so...
Yeah, I could definitely go more in-depth than that if you want. I know we have so much to cover.
I know.
So.
Well, we're actually here today to talk about removing armor and resilience, but I will mention now, I was going to mention it later, I'll be doing an interview on my show, A Cup of Comfort, with Rob on June 8th, where he can get a little bit more into his actual care story. So, it's a great introduction and the tip of the iceberg. I want to rewind for a second. Thank you for sharing that. I want to rewind for a second. On my April 11th show, I focus on the use of words, and words such as battle and fighter and fight and warrior and armor and things like that. And anyone who's listened to A Cup of Comfort knows that the use of words is really, really important to me. And I know that we're going to be talking about using some of those words. So I'm wondering if a good place to start is just to start talking about that armor. And I think that was probably part of your process while you were providing care.
Sure. In fact, I was my wife's armor. My wife, because she was studying, she was doing an MD, PhD, but because she wanted to be a doctor, she knew very early on that she knew enough to be dangerous to herself. And so I became her shield. But what I realized about armor, and it was very interesting because my wife was in remission for a short period of time. And during that remission, I was elated, and she became clinically depressed. And her oncologist actually told her that he was going to stop being her oncologist if she didn't go see a therapist and start antidepressants. When the cancer returned, she felt relieved, and I was devastated. Now, she explained to me later on that she couldn't deal with the worry of it coming back because she knew it was highly likely. Even though she didn't know she had 11 to 12 lymph nodes positive, the size of the tumor, she didn't know any of that. But she knew that she was young, it was an aggressive cancer. So I, at that point in time, started to seek out my own armor. And it was because it hit me and I felt unprotected. But what I realized about putting on armor is that it was making me weaker because the armor became the definition of my strength. My identity of being strong was my armor. And it wasn't until I lived the pain on my own skin that I was able to make impactful decisions. Because when you're wearing armor, I think of it this way, maybe it's because I live in Italy, maybe it's because I like to fantasize, but armor is heavy, right? You have a limited range of motion when you're wearing armor. You have a very thin slit in the helmet that you can see through. And what I learned is trying to protect myself with different coping mechanisms and everything else was the same exact thing. I had to be there naked in the arena to battle, to truly battle. And I know you believe the same thing as I do. I wasn't fighting against. When you're wearing armor, you're ready to fight against something. But a lot of times, it's wasted energy. because it's out of our control. But when I stripped down and I was in the arena, I realized I was fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
I was there vulnerable as myself, willing to do what needed to be done. And it was in that moment, I have goose pimples, by the way. It was in that moment that I realized by taking off the armor, I learned what I was capable of. With the armor, I had no idea what I was capable of. And when I got down and got dirty, I was able to help her help us live an amazingly joyful life. I mean, we lived in a state of joy that to this day it still touches me. I say all the time that I am beautifully scarred for having loved and lost my wife, because it was an amazing journey regardless that she passed away. And that was because there was no armor. That was because I felt it. And the I don't like to use the word battle, but it's very hard to find the right word. Let's say the battle. The battle became so purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't with my armor trying to necessarily win. You know, winning is such a funny thing because we're so addicted to be able to win. But if we tie everything to that final outcome, we miss the whole thing in between. And again, that's what taking off the armor let me do, because it is. If you don't feel it on your skin, you're not all in.
So I love the explanation and the description. I'm a visual person, of the armor and the slit and the, you know, that you could see through. So when you were in the arena wearing the armor, if I understood you correctly, you were fighting against something. And what was that something?
Actually, I was fighting against the uncontrollable.
Okay.
I was fighting against wanting to fix my wife. I think the most difficult thing as a caregiver, but I want the people that are listening, it's a caregiver, everything is heightened when you're a caregiver. But in life, battling against the uncontrollable, that's what I mean, because I couldn't fix her. It wasn't my job to fix her. But it was my job to help her through her life's journey. And I needed to take off the armor to do that. I needed to take off the armor so I could give all of myself, not the shield.
And when the armor came off, so with the armor on, you were fighting against something. When the armor came off, what did it become? You were fighting for something or working for something?
No, it was that... Yes, I would say fighting for something, but even more, I was giving purposefully to the person I love.
It's a switch of focus.
It's a 100% switch of focus, and it's an act of surrender. It is looking to make the best of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wasting, because I'm a big believer in, maybe it comes from my economics background, but you know, looking at how you spend things, and we spend our time, we spend our energy, we actually do. It's a commodity that's non-renewable. And so the moment I took off the armor to understand the complexity of the arena, and not just what I was seeing through the slit, that it allowed me to, more than anything else, focus on the ordinary moments, which I think is instrumental in life. It's not just because of a caregiver, but and it sounds so corny, and I know if people, some people that are listening to this, I understand because I was one of those people a long time ago with this idea of, oh, our life takes place in the moments, but it actually does. It actually does. We fear the future. We're wasting our energy because we have no idea. We ruminate over the past, and I wish things were different. We can't do anything about it. How much time is left to enjoy the moment?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they pointed out to me that when we think about our friends or our family or our best memories, it's in moments. It's in 3-4 moments
yeah.
of time, and we lose the focus on that, definitely.
Yeah.
So you said a word, you've said the word already, that I would like you to talk about, surrender.
Sure.
That word, so when I did this episode on April 11th, I talked about connotation and denotation of words.
Hmm.
And so the literal meaning of the word surrender, but the feeling that we get from that word. And I've heard you talk about this before, so I'm asking you to share that with people who are listening today because it's a great explanation.
Sure. We all think of surrender as giving up. It just has that connotation. We think of it as weakness. I learned it is the complete opposite. It is empowerment. It is being brave. You know, basically what surrender allows you to do is to focus on what you have, focus on what's under your control, because there's so much that's uncontrollable, unnecessary in life. And so surrender liberates you to live life. I know you've probably read the quote that, the quote that I say, you know, surrender is taking a breath of fresh air when you're hiking up a mountain. If I really attribute it to, let's say, the caregiving role, or what's happening with the pandemic right now, let's forget just the pandemic in general, everybody's life. We've been asked in a way to run a marathon we never wanted to run. And if you're holding your breath during that marathon, it is torture. If you surrender and you take the breath during the marathon, you're able to run the marathon. And that's what surrender is, because surrender, we carry so much with us. We are attached. We have fears. We have expectations. All of that goes away when you surrender. And you're open up to opportunities. If you're sitting there holding on to something so tightly, just, I don't know or if we're video, but okay, I think we're just radio, but I'm holding my
we're
fist.
Both.
Very, we're both. Okay, I'm holding my fist very tightly, right?
Yes.
How can I open my hands to grab an opportunity? Am I ready? No. Now I'm ready, and that's surrender. It took me time to get there.
Absolutely.
But this philosophy, this understanding of surrender, happened when my wife's cancer did recur. Because it went from, oh, yeah, we can get through this, to, oh, in an instant.
You went from the sprint to the marathon.
Thank you. Yeah, I went from the sprint to the marathon.
The sprint can be won. The marathon's just ongoing.
Ongoing, yes. Yes. And that's why it's so important to take that breath, to focus on doing your best.
Yeah. I think this might be a great time to take a quick break. When
sure.
we come back, I would like Rob to continue with this. I believe that we have, for the people watching the video, a graphic that has an archer on it. And I heard what you had to say about the bow and arrow and the archer in regard to surrender. So
okay.
I think that'd be a great time, and we'll come back in just a minute.
Sure.
Yeah. find yourself part of a club that you never chose to join, there is a way to find meaning and joy in your life again. Jen Ripa has created a six-week sacred grief system, helping you let go of grief, heal with compassion, and understand what's available to you in the rest of your life. It can feel scary acknowledging that a part of you wants to move forward because you're not sure how to do it in a way that honors your child. The good news is that when you allow yourself to address your grief in a multisensory way, you can transition from sadness, regret, and hopelessness into a life that gives you peace, joy, and meaning. Jennifer understands with deep compassion how you're feeling because she's been there. For more information about the Sacred Grief Course, visit thriveology.com. That's thriveology.com. Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lowe, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Lowe, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Trish Laub, and I'm guest hosting today. Before the break, my guest, Rob Party, was we were talking about the concept of taking off your armor, whether that's due to caregiving or some other situation in your life, and the word surrender and the action surrender. So I'm just going to let you pick up with that. I did mention, though, that in regard to surrender, I had heard you speak somewhere else about the image of an archer, and I thought that was a great visual and representation of that word surrender and how it applies.
Well, as we were talking about, surrender is complex because it touches on so many different things. We have, like we said earlier, we've attributed to giving up, and it's everything but giving up. And what surrender allows you to do is it allows you to look at yourself and value your strengths, value what you could build, and say that other stuff, okay, I need to give that away. I need to put that somewhere else. And that's the idea of the archer. And It comes from ancient times, this whole idea. But when an archer pulls the bow back and focuses on the target, when they let go, they surrender, because a gust of wind can come and all their planning to hit the bullseye will mean nothing. They can attempt to adjust for everything. I guess it would be the same thing as golf. I don't play golf. But when you let go of that bow, there's forces out of your control. There's the wind. There's a bird, an insect, whatever can get in the way. And so what surrender allows you to do is to focus on doing your best or your effort, not on the outcome. And it's in that moment, intention fuels effort. And we can only do our best. And what I want everyone listening, I really want them to just listen to this one part. Your best is fluid. You're not 100% all the time. So one day you're going to be 40, one day you're going to be 100. But if your intention is to show up in your life and do your best, that's all you can do. And underlies that is surrender. I joke all the time. I say someone should drink a cup of tea every morning. And that's focusing on your thoughts, your efforts, and your actions. Making sure they're the best that you could put into play that day. And that is surrender. That is being a care hero or the hero of your life. It's the hero's journey.
And I think everything that you're saying really applies, as you said, when you're a care hero, it's like you're on, steroids or whatever. Everything is intensified. You're literally, I know for me, I would get up in the morning, before my feet hit the floor, I was asked to make a life or death decision. I mean, it's like you're in the pressure cooker. But everything you're saying applies to everything that happens in my life. And I have to go back and really back up what you said, that your best is fluid. I mean, sometimes my best was so bad, but it was the best I had to give.
Right.
I wasn't at the 40 mark. I was way below that. Actually, my sister sent me home sometimes.
But just think of that one thing, right? You said your best was so bad. I bet your intention was 100%.
Yeah. Higher. Yeah.
Right? So that's why we have to understand, we're human. I wanted to be a Superman. Oh, boy, did I want to be Superman. And I tried as well at the beginning. It's not sustainable. And you're not good to anyone running yourself into the ground. And it's not just, we're not just talking about the caregivers. We're talking in life. So... yeah.
Well, and I think especially with caregivers, but again, I'm going to extrapolate that out to everyone, every situation, especially with caregivers, we can get really caught up with the checklist. Did the person have their meds? Did they have this? Did da 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 da? And, our intention is good, but we got to let go and go back to those moments. I can remember standing, and a lot of my parents' life happened in a 10-by-10 family room during the day with a million people around and, okay, maybe 15 family members and 7 caregivers coming in and out in a week and things like that. But I would just step back sometimes and just watch. And I'd look at the look on my dad's face because he loved the attention. Or, my mom, somebody brought her some cookies for lunch instead of, other food. And it's in those moments, you actually said something else that if you can speak to. I think you said that. Oh, I think you said this. Maybe not, but that's okay. The surrender starts in a moment. It doesn't have to be, oh, my gosh, we're going to flip the switch and you let go of everything. It's a process. So for me, standing back and looking in those moments was the first steps of a process of being able to let go of the checklist or to just be.
Yes, just be. You hit it right on the head. Surrender allows you to be. It takes you away from doing. And so the idea of the moment, we can't let go of everything immediately. We can't learn everything immediately. Everything is moments. Everything is accumulation. And so if we're surrendering, we're accumulating the ability to surrender, right? We have to go through that process. The interesting thing in all of that, when we're talking about surrendering in life and the moments and that checklist that we all have, every single person listening probably has a checklist for something. We are built to need to control. It is ingrained in our mind because it's an idea of safety. It's false safety. And that's what also, that's what's so liberating about surrender. It's letting go of the false safety and living life for what it is. When you surrender, you're more likely to ask for assistance for certain things, mm-hmm. and you grow because you're not always trying to overcompensate as well. And so it's a philosophy. Like everything in life needs to be a philosophy. Our thoughts, our behaviors have become habitual. We don't know how we built it. It could have been our childhood, whatever the case is. And we live by it. It's the paradigm we live by. But if we want to change how we show up in our life, it's practice and it becomes a philosophy. The philosophers did not say, study this self-help book and you're going to be okay. No, read this self-help book and put it into action. That's the difference. And it's uncomfortable. Surrender is uncomfortable because we want to control.
So for people listening, how does somebody start to surrender? Let's say they're in whatever situation it is where they want to control it and there's fear and there's all these things. What's their first step? Oh,
that's a great... That,
is it just
that
taking
is,
a breath?
It is just taking a breath, but it's also when you're in a state of control, you've given everything a priority. So the first step is to look at those priorities and realize what's not a priority. What if it goes wrong is not really going to change anything. That's the beginning of surrender. That's what, when I talked about earlier about the unnecessary and the uncontrollable, that's what I meant about unnecessary. Those things that, you know what, it will have a 0.5% impact on the overall thing. Let it go and see how you feel.
Well, it's interesting you brought the pandemic up because I've been through several times the Care Her journey. But the pandemic was an interesting opportunity, which we're all in this, of realizing that for years before the pandemic hit, I hear this little voice in the back of my head, I'm never going to get off the gerbil wheel. I'm never going to get out of this pattern. I'm never going to get out of this thing that I believe that our culture created and I had to live as part of. And then I was told to sit down on the couch and watch Netflix for a year or whatever it was, you know. And that to me is a great example of surrender. And I watched so many people just in my own community. There were people who refused to surrender.
Sure.
I mean, were absolutely belligerent about it. And I had a little... I belong to a Facebook group with Care Heroes, and somebody had posted asking if anybody got anything out of the pandemic, and I said, yes, I did. And some people came after me on that because they felt that, how could I say that? And then I posted after that, and I said, you know, I lost a number of people. I have really close friends and family that are long haulers with COVID. It's not that I just skated through, but I couldn't control that. So all I could do was be in the moment and take advantage of anything good I could take. I could not take, but I could gain. I could watch for that. All I could do was sit back and take a breath because I didn't have a lot of options.
Well, it deviates a little bit, but just to talk about like that feeling that people had during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
which required surrender, but a lot of people suffered a loss of identity.
Yes.
And they fought against that.
Yes.
And they weren't willing to surrender into letting go of the uncontrollable and understanding what their identity really is. Because so many people identified with their job or the community that they used to go to the gym with or you name it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't there anymore. Now you're sitting in your house, you're in front of Netflix, and your identity is violated to a certain extent. You feel your freedom is violated.
Right.
And so that was a moment to see what was under your control and what was not under your control.
But to tie it back, for me, it was a great opportunity to say what's really important to you.
Yep. Yes.
It's kind of like you were saying, you have to, for surrender, you've got to kind of look at, okay, there's all this stuff that I, like you said, when you don't surrender, everything is important. There's all this stuff I thought was important in my life.
Yeah.
And then we got sent home, and I went, I mean, I used to live in my car. I used to drive everywhere. I've driven my car maybe 5 times this year. I don't miss it. I don't care. You know, just so many things. But, yeah, I think there's so many correlations that, about what you're talking about in regard to your experience with Desiree that applies to everyone, because it really does apply to every aspect of our lives. So for people who have not yet been, because they probably will be care heroes someday, the way everything is going, you know, this is absolutely applicable and really important in every aspect of their lives.
I believe it 100%, yeah.
So I know that there is, I think I have a note here that says that from one of our conversations about surrender being a vehicle to live in the moment and can lead to resilience. There's another word for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so can you talk about resilience and maybe that connection between surrender and resilience?
Sure. Resilience is my word. Resilience is sort of everything that I embody. Let me just tie it together.
Please do.
Sure. Let's go back to that armor, right? When you have the armor, when you're wearing the armor, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're capable of. You identify with the shield. Get rid of all of that, surrender, and step in, knowing what you have, also knowing what your weaknesses are, and go into that arena, that's resilience. You know, we're all born with resilience. I, looking back on my life, I'm very grateful for the way I grew up, and that sounds odd to most people, but it taught me to be resilient at a very young age. Because you mentioned this at the very beginning, our back against the wall. When our back is against the wall, or if you think about how many people listening right now, just I wish you could raise your hand. Have you ever said to yourself, I can't take one more thing? But you're all still here. You're all still here. That's resilience. But we don't know how to access it on demand. And to get to access it on demand, you have to surrender. You have to surrender, because surrender allows you to be authentic. Because, look, I'm a big superhero fan. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. Resilience is the force. Plain and simple, it is the force.
Yeah.
And once you know how to access it and harness it and use it, it becomes a philosophy. It becomes, when something bad happens, look, I'm someone that falls. I'm not saying I don't fall. And boy, do I fall hard. I have this thing that I throw myself into the deepest, darkest, muckiest well of sewage, and I'm down there. Because the worse I throw myself down, the faster I jump back up. And resilience is about bouncing beyond that. You've just been through something. Why do you want to bounce back?
Thank you. Yes.
You've just been through something. Use it, transform yourself, grow from it. So it's about adapting to change positively, right? And none of that would be possible if you don't surrender to life, because resilience lets you know you can't control anything but the way you react to it. And are you going to let it knock you down, or are you going to get back up and take two steps further? I always say the question is, what's next? You got knocked down, you stand up, what's next? Or, you know, I said to myself, you know, people think, oh, okay, this ex-investment banker, yeah, he now lives in Italy. Well, my wife passed away, I had a tremendous amount of debt, like over $100,000. And it wasn't just the medical system, it was a bunch of things, but when I paid off that debt, I picked up my two suitcases, I moved to Italy, and I said to myself, what if I can effing pull this off?
Yeah.
That was resilience. And just, I know we're running out of time, so I just wanted to say this to the people listening. Resilience to me is being addicted to overcoming the challenge to a certain extent. We are addicted to making things the worst they can be in our mind. And it's actually proven, because when it is not that bad, there's a sensation of relief. Dopamine is released in our brain, and we feel good.
Right.
But resilience is feeling good, taking the challenge. And
yeah.
That's, I think, how you craft your life proactively, consciously.
And what I think is really important for people listening to hear is the concept of bouncing beyond, not bouncing back. Because if nothing else, every person on this planet has been put in that situation in the last year with the pandemic. And I couldn't go back to what life was like a year ago if I wanted to. I don't want to. I can't bounce back. I have no choice but to bounce forward. People can go kicking and fighting, but they're still going to have to go forward. Because at least in the United States, there are many, many things well established in our culture that will never, ever be the same. The care paradigm, for one, has been forever changed. And so everything that you're saying, I mean, we've all just been put in the lab to test that. And it really is about bouncing forward. So I thank you. I want people to really hear that. I want to make sure that people know how to find you and reach out to you.
Sure. The best way possible would be to go to my website, which is robertpardi.com. And my last name is P-A-R-D as in David, I as in Italy. It's not party as in, you know, beers in college. I would love if people took a look at my tiny little podcast, because it's only me talking for 3 to 5 minutes on different ideas. And that's Possibility in Action is the podcast.
And where can they find that?
They could find that. It's listed on Buzzsprouts and a bunch of the others.
Spotify, Stitcher. And what I love about that is that it aims to broaden perspective and empower yourself in 5 minutes or less.
Yes.
I mean, even I've got 5 minutes. Sometimes I don't think I have much more, but that's what I really like about that. So, Huddle Journey.
Tell us
about that.
Let's talk about the pandemic, right, and having it change your life and making something of it. I love to speak. I love to be in front of people. I love to host retreats. That ended. And an opportunity came up to basically create a 7-day journey on an app. And basically Huddle Journeys, which is on Google Play or the Apple Store, is basically a life coach in your pocket. There are all these journeys on different topics. I have one on resilience, one on loss. I'm recording one now on joy, because they're all connected, oddly enough, with loss in the middle. And I've done one on leadership, because that's also another world I come from. But for 7 days, you go through theory and practice. Theory and practice, no more than 30 minutes a day. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Again, finite amount of time.
Yeah.
Great bang for your buck there. It's awesome.
And Chasing Life. I keep saying it's going to be out this summer. Is it still just this summer?
It is. Before July 15th.
First half of the summer, it's coming out. And
yeah, no, it's July 1st. July 1st to July 15th, it will be available on Amazon or Kindle.
Okay.
Then I will also be doing an Audible. I want it to be in my voice. So, and it's a lot more than just the story of caregiving and cancer. It's about, I watched a woman evolve. I watched a woman transform in front of my eyes into something that is incredible. It's difficult to even explain. And so it is about that, and it is about understanding you can be joyful regardless of adversity.
Absolutely.
So
I'm so glad you said that. So, I highly recommend that you all. I have had the privilege of reading some of Rob's book, and I highly recommend that you keep an eye out for it. I know we have a couple more minutes, but do you want to share the story about the apple on the cover?
Oh,
people who are just listening, you haven't seen the cover. The cover is a caramel apple. And I first went, huh. And then I listened to some of Rob's interviews and things, and I went, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So we have a couple minutes if you feel like sharing it. You can take
it. I would love to share it. It was a bone of contention with the people helping me publish it because what does it have to do at all with Chasing Life? And Chasing Life is also something that the title is unusual, but the apple really represented my wife more than anything else in the fact that she allowed herself to be that inner child, even though she was this accomplished doctor and everything else, and it was about so much joy. But basically, I bought her a caramel apple for 24 years. Every year for 24 years, and the first time we were together when we were first dating, I met her, she was 17, I was 19, we were children, and we were in a mall, and she saw this caramel apple, and she bounced up and down, like, caramel apple, oh, I love this season, and so, you know, I bought the caramel apple, and thinking about our journey, it wasn't about losing her. It was about the joy I shared with her. And that's what the apple represents.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to let everybody know that you can hear more about Rob's Care Hero journey on my show, A Cup of Comfort, on Tuesday, June 8th at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. Join us then, and you'll hear more about his 7 lessons he learned through his Care Hero journey. It, too, is really, really invaluable. So I want to thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure to see you in person. Thank you for joining me today.
Same for me.
I know it has changed the way that I think and my understanding of the words armor and surrender and resilience, and I'm sure it has done the same for everyone listening. I'm looking forward to talking to you again on June 8th. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and sharing this time with me. It's been an honor and a pleasure to fill in for Dr. Pat. I'd really, really like to hear from people out there listening. Reach out to me with questions, comments, topics that you might want to hear on my show, and share your story with me. Go to the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com, and fill out the contact form. I'd really love to hear from you. I love feedback, and I want to know what you think about this show. And while you're there, download the PDFs for the shows and sign up for my newsletter. Please join me on A Cup of Comfort the 2nd and 4th Tuesdays of the month at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. On my next show on May 11th, I'll be talking with my special guest, Felicity Warner, who is the founder of the Soul Midwives program based in England. And again, I hope you'll all join Rob and me on the June 8th show. To those on a journey of providing care, especially those who have found themselves on the journey during the pandemic, remember that you are a real care hero. And to everyone, no matter your circumstances, live life forward and live with possibility and action. And finally, I hope you'll bring your favorite beverage and join me on a cup of comfort. Thanks for joining me today.